Mourning is forbidden on a festival. Why then would we remind ourselves, in one of Judaism's most happy moments, of the day on which we mark the tragedies that have occurred throughout Jewish history? Welcome to 10-Minute Mitzvah, Episode 107, The Chagiga and the Egg. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us ponder a now famous ingredient of the Seder plate, and that is the egg. Though ubiquitous today, it is a relatively recent addition, and it is important to explain why this is so. According to tradition, we are at a contemporary Seder celebration, called to remember two offerings that once had pride of place at the Pesach table. First and foremost, the Pesach, the paschal lamb or goat. But then there was another offering that was actually eaten first, the Chagigah, brought in celebration of the holiday. It has its own rules and regulations, and the unique strictures of the paschal offering, discussed in previous episodes, do not apply to it. Maimonides, in his listing of the prohibitions in the Torah, informs us that while a portion of it can be left over after the Seder evening, as is not the case with its paschal counterpart, nevertheless, the korban must be finished by the end of the second day. In post-temple times, it became customary to place two foods upon the table in remembrance of these two offerings. And eventually, for at least many Jews clearly, as late as the post-medieval period, the Chagigah was represented by an egg. And this seems, superficially, a strange symbol for a celebratory offering, because the egg is, for Jewish tradition, an embodiment, first and foremost, not of Chag, of holiday, but rather of Avelut, mourning, rather than celebration. Many eat of the egg right before the onset of Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the Jewish year. We are informed in the Talmud that the sorrowful symbolism of the egg relates to the fact that it has no obvious opening, a representation of the muteness experienced by the mourner. Thus, as a representative food of the festival, it appears uniquely inappropriate. The enigma is exacerbated by a cryptic comment by Rabbi Moshe Isserles, the 16th century decisor, who notes that in the Jewish calendar, the date of the Seder evening always falls out on the same day of the week on which Tisha B'Av will be observed and mourned that year. Thus, he tells us, the presence of the egg at the Seder, and indeed the tradition that many Jews have of eating eggs at the Seder, is a reminder of a link between these two days. This is initially also difficult to understand. Mourning is forbidden on a festival. Why then would we remind ourselves, in one of Judaism's most happy moments, of the day on which we mark the tragedies that have occurred throughout Jewish history? The answer, I would suggest, is that joining the two days allows one to enhance the other. The Jews remember their tragedies with incredible agony, but Jews also, as we know, seek to sanctify life and bestow love within it. And the remembrance of our history, not just its joys but also its pains, deepens and enriches the sacred celebrations that follow. Lincoln, speaking at Gettysburg, argued that it is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. In a somewhat similar sense, the Jewish memory of those who are not here with us, those who sacrificed in the past, those who martyred themselves in the past, those who courageously stood up for Judaism in the past in the face of so much persecution. These memories ensure that we experience the obligation that is the central purpose of the Seder, retelling the story, covenantal transmission, guaranteeing the endurance of God's covenant people. Thus, while we no longer have the Chagigah offering with its rules and rituals in our contemporary time, it is embodied at the Seder by the egg, which both reminds us of the destruction which brought about the fact that the temple no longer stands, but it also reflects our hope for its restoration. As I believe I saw Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik cite from Rabbi Mendel of Kotsk, the egg is not only a symbol of mourning, but also a future life. and other commentators have also reflected that in Aramaic, egg is be'ah, which also is a word for desire. The egg, in other words, reflects our dreams, our longings, our hopes for more miracles yet to come. Chagigah means celebration. True celebration in Judaism on sacred festival days involve offerings, dining in the presence of the divine. Throughout history, Jews at their seders remembered the sacrifices and the heroism of the past, but also saw new life, new hope in what was yet to come. It was Rabbi Sacks who has noted that Jeremiah, the man who gave us the lamentation for the temple, for the destruction that occurred on the 9th of Av, is wrongly seen as the prophetic declarer of doom. As he put it, quote, "Yet this is unfair. He was also supremely a prophet of hope. Jeremiah's feelings of doom and hope were not in conflict. There were two sides of the same coin," end quote. In other words, the prophet that saw Jerusalem destroyed was also the prophet who guaranteed us that Od Yiknu Batim Ukramim, that land would once again be purchased and sown by the descendants of those that saw the destruction, that houses would be built and Jewish lives lived on that very same land. And so it has come to be. Our mitzvah of the day pertains to the Chagigah, embodied by the egg, and understanding its symbolism will, please God, deepen our Chagigah, our celebration, until the offering, known as the Chagigah, returns. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.